Maybe they don't.
All right. All right, good morning, everybody. I'll call the regular schedule Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, October 2nd. I can't believe it's October. And ask everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, it should be a fairly light agenda today, but we'll get right to it. I do need to note that that our partner, Marty Chitty, is representing us with a delegation that has gone back to Bloomington, Indiana on an inner-city trip. This is the third one we've done. We've been to Manhattan, Kansas, Columbia, Missouri, and now Bloomington, and it's always a great opportunity just to see how others are doing and how they're addressing some of the issues that we face today. So we'll be excited to get Marty back and see what he learned on that trip. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on really anything you want to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come right up. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of proclamation for Manufacturing Day, October 5th. We've got John, Drew, and Dustin here. Who wants to come up and banter with me?
We need to get in third seat.
Yes,
we have people there all the time.
So when I got here, we have lightning. When I got here, we didn't have this desk. We had that podium, and anybody who wished to speak had to go stand at the podium with their back to the screen. And I got here and I said, "Well, why are we so uninviting? Why are we asking people?" And so we put this in, and maybe we do need to expand it. It's great that we got this many people coming to talk to us. Drew, you want to start us?
Oh, yeah, sure. We appreciate the board taking the time this morning to consider the proclamation for Manufacturing Day on October 5th of this year. This is the first time we've really done anything big for Manufacturing Day, and I think it's for good reason. As you all saw a week and a half ago on September 21st, we had three projects, a total of five, on the Iowa Economic Development Authority Board of Directors meeting agenda. We had MHEB for about a $7.5 million investment. We had Burke here in Nevada, Burke Hormel, for $150 million. And then we had 3M and Ames for about a $30 million project, a total of about $186 million in capital investment and about 330 jobs. And the big thing is those are all manufacturers. And we're all seeing them grow. And we're not only seeing those explosive growth in those three companies, we're also seeing others continue to just grow and hire in their existing spaces. And some of them are already doing, and they're doing, and others are just doing internal expansions that no one really knows about. Everyone is growing, though, and that's the important thing. And we're actually, with a 1.7% unemployment rate, still able to hire the people that they need, largely due to the board's support of our Workforce Solutions Program and the good work of Brenda and our team and our office. Those are things that we've really been able to impact with over 100 employees hired at a couple manufacturers just in this year.
And so as we talk about the job growth, Drew, I think I saw a report that came out that said Story County had the fastest wage growth in the state of Iowa over the last year. Are you familiar with that report?
I'm not familiar with the exact numbers, but yes, I do recall that data point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. 7%.
I mean, dramatic, and the only thing I have to attribute it to is the low unemployment rate, and we're continuing to add jobs, and so there's a little competition to hire good people, which would mean the wage would go up. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, very much so. When I was still doing the business retention and expansion, Brenda has now taken that over about a month ago. That was one of the things we've heard is that the wages had to be so competitive just to maintain people because there's other, if you weren't paying them and you weren't showing them that you needed them or you valued them in that regard, they would go somewhere else. And that was the thing, that the wages are becoming extremely competitive, and that's a good thing because others are having to raise their wages, raise their benefits to really be able to compete for that talent because of it is such a tight labor market. So we are seeing really strong wage growth as a result.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited. I mean, you hit on this point. I'm really excited that true kind of old school manufacturing jobs that we're adding those. I mean, you think of Ames and Story County. Yeah, we add the tech jobs. You see the Workivas of the world. And we add the research jobs and those kind of things. But to see the true hardcore manufacturing jobs really making strides in Story County, that's really exciting to me.
It really is, and then the really exciting piece, too, is the fact, like I said, we had those three projects on the agenda last month in the September board packet for IEDA, but we know there's other big things in the hopper. In the next 18 months, we're going to see some other big projects matriculate a little bit out and kind of bring themselves forward, and those are going to be really exciting projects as well that'll bring some more good employment opportunities in the manufacturing sector in Story County. So the big thing is obviously just continue to prepare, address those workforce issues, addressing housing issues that we're having, things like that. Those are things that we're really going to have to plan forward for and really look at, because those are going to be things that are going to be very impactful as we look to add these employees and help these employers retain and attract employees.
Perfect. Laura, anything before we read in the resolution?
I just want to note that I am not going to edit any of the language here. Okay, because it is an exceptional time. So I'll let Stan a couple of superlatives in here.
I love
superlatives. I know. Some of them aren't quantifiable. But anyway, so today I would move that we approve this. And okay. You can read it in.
All right. And I'll second, and let's read it in so we know what we just moved in second. Whereas the Story County Board of Supervisors recognizes the importance of manufacturing to our local, state, and global economy, and whereas advanced manufacturing is the number one business sector in Iowa, representing more than 17.8% of the state's GDP, as evidenced by more than 6,000 manufacturers employing over 213,000 Iowans, or 14% of the state's total workforce, and whereas Story County's manufacturers pay a significant amount of property tax and user fees, providing outstanding employment opportunities with both high wages and great benefits, and generate exceptional annual earnings, allowing them to be an economic development driver in the community, and whereas the manufacturing industry employs over 9,500 individuals throughout Story County with an average annual earnings of $59,506, thereby positively contributing to the prosperity throughout the community, and whereas the Story County Board of Supervisors routinely sees the positive contributions of our local manufacturers and appreciates and thanks them for continued commitment to the communities and clientele they serve, and now, therefore, be it resolved that the Story County Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim October 5th, 2018 is Manufacturing Day, and we urge all residents to join us in recognizing the critical role manufacturing plays in our local, state, and global economy. We have a motion. We have a second. Dustin Drew, anything to add?
I would ask if we could take a photo with you for a promotion on Friday.
Absolutely.
Manufacturing Days.
Absolutely.
That would be great.
Be glad to do that. Morris, anything else?
Nothing.
All right. Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. It is October 5th is Manufacturing Day in Story County. Let's take the photo. You want to go through?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I went online and actually looked up. It's National Manufacturing Day.
I think it's National Association of Manufacturers that kind of puts all together.
You got it.
That's the group that Mary Ann Dringo chaired. She was the first female chair.
Right. The great actually. Yeah.
I have so. What was the navy blue in the middle? Oh. How was that? Yeah. Okay.
Jackie Blair just had their wedding day, July 5th. They're going to do it at Black and Garden.
Thank you, Michael.
Absolutely. So you haven't read that before?
Yes. And I will get back to you as soon as I recall them, okay?
I'll be here for the rest of the
meeting. I don't know whether I will be here.
All right, next item is consideration of Healthiest State Annual Walk Proclamation. We have anybody to walk us through this one. So, Lawrence, how about if I read it in real quick, and then we'll see what they ask. Whereas the Healthiest State Initiative has set an ambitious goal for Iowa to become the healthiest state in the nation, and whereas the Healthiest State Initiative aims to do this by improving the physical, social, and emotional well-being of Iowans, and whereas walking helps to manage weight, improve strength, and physical fitness, and whereas group walking allows for improving social and emotional well-being by providing support and connection, and whereas walking 30 minutes a day can improve your overall health as we strive to become the healthiest state in the nation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, Story County, Iowa, do hereby announce and proclaim to all citizens and set seal hereto that October 3rd, 2018 is Healthiest State Annual Walk Day in Story County, Iowa. All citizens are encouraged to join us for a walk for 30 minutes and improve their physical, social, and emotional health.
I have no comment other than I believe in this, and I would make a motion to approve.
And I'll second any further discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Once say Jenny, I was waiting for Jenny to answer. So it is October 3rd. It is Healthiest State Annual Walk Day in Story County. Go for a walk. Next is consideration of minutes.
So move as presented.
I'll second. Olson.
Aye.
Jenny. Not here. Sanders. How about the routine we get into? That's what I'll say. Sanders.
Aye.
Personnel actions as listed.
I move we approve as listed.
And I'll second. Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Claims for October 4th.
Move as presented.
And I'll second. Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussing and consider. Consent agenda.
We have one item. Well, okay. Sorry. Move as presented.
And I'll second. Olson.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. Now no public hearing items. Additional items, we are going to discuss and consider the purchase of 7 new vehicles as budgeted from Stivers Ford for the sheriff. Leanna, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, back on September 18th, the board approved that we purchased 7 vehicles through Ames Ford Lincoln. However, last week I received notice from Ames Ford that they cannot meet the required specifications of getting 2019 Ford Explorers, and so I am asking that we move forward with the purchase with Stivers Ford, who assures me that we can get the 2019s. Thus, in the long run, saving a substantial amount of money. Not only will the difference of the vehicles be anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 more per vehicle, we don't know with body style changes if our equipment will transfer over and potentially we'd have to buy all new cages and everything else. The increase in the cost is $6,551.44 for the purchase, but like I said, I think that's going to be substantially lower than what we would see if we went with the 2024s.
Okay, so simply a change in where we're buying them. Still improving what we're buying, spending a little more to go ahead and get them, but less than we would spend if we waited.
Correct.
Okay. Laura, questions or comments?
None other than I know that Ames Ford in the past has wanted to be able to bid and provide, but it's unfortunate this isn't the opportunity for them. So I'm fine with what you're doing.
Well, they did bid, but they can't follow through with the order. Yeah, okay. So.
So that's my comment.
Okay. You ready to make a motion?
Yeah. I move that we allow the purchase of 7 new vehicles to the Story County Sheriff's Office from Stivers Ford for $182,377.
And I'll second, and just note, so for anybody paying attention, this is a change from what we approved back on September 18th, not in vehicles. It's a change in who we're buying from and how much ultimately we're spending for those vehicles.
Correct.
Good. Olson.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Passes. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
No agency reports, departmental reports, planning and development is with us today. Garrett Moore.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Garrett.
Okay, this is third quarter report. We're going to be looking at zoning permit data, development permit application information, information on current and future projects, a little information on work program items, and then special projects. The first one is the zoning permit data. You can see we're down a little bit, but we're within the zone of the previous 2 years. Down 5 from last year's third quarter, down 3 from 2016. I want to thank Amelia for putting a lot of this information together. She does a great job for us. I asked her to kind of dig into some of the details to share with you. With regard to zoning permits, this third quarter, we had 11 accessory structures, 8 single-family dwelling additions, 10 of those were new construction, and then of the 3, that represented 67% of the total 42. Valuation information, you can see we're down a little bit. It really comes to or equates to really a few dwellings. Again, Amelia provided some details. In 2018, the average dwelling value was a little over $240,000. In 2017, it was up over $280,000. And in 2016, it was just under $297,000. So in 2018, this quarter, we only had 2 houses permits that were over $300,000 in value. In 2017, we had 7 that were over $300,000 in value.
Yeah.
And then in 2016, it was a big year. 1 was over $500,000 in value. 1 was over $750,000. And then we had 4 that were over $300,000 in value. So,
yeah, so we're actually building more homes at more reasonable prices now, right?
Right. Yeah. The overall map, I love this map, shows you the activity. As what we see most quarters is a lot of activity between Ames and Gilbert. However, we do have a lot of activity between Ames and Maxwell, also between Kelly and Huxley, and Colo and Collins. Green represents the accessory structures. You see quite a few between Gilbert and Ames, a few between Nevada and Maxwell. The red represents commercial projects. We had a few of those. The yellow represents the single-family dwellings. So they're scattered throughout, primarily between Gilbert and Ames, but there's a few between Nevada and Maxwell. And then single-family additions are the brown or orange color, and they're pretty much spread throughout. Development permit applications were down a little bit, but within the range of the previous 2 years, third quarter. We had a total of 9. The biggest category was subdivisions, and we track conditional use permits, subdivisions, rezoning requests, site plans for commercial uses, variances, vacations, ordinances, and road renamings. We're working on, I think, 4 or 5 ordinance amendments right now. Third quarter cases, these are the things that were before our department and went on to Planning and Zoning Commission, the board, and the Board of Adjustment, Gilbert Wastewater Treatment Plant project update. We had 4 residential parcel subdivisions that were reviewed, the Finch rezoning request, Williams variance, a property in Fernald. We looked at the East Lincoln Way road renaming for the portion of the road that was in the unincorporated area of the county. And then the Couser site development plan is west of Nevada on West 18th Street. These are some things that we're working on now reviewing. Some of these things will likely be addressed in the fourth quarter. Manoa Borrow Pit, they are located at 245th Street on the east side of I-35. They're asking for an extension with all the rain that we had. They need some sand to shore up their cranes to set those horizontal members. You've probably driven by and seen the installation of those horizontal pieces. Pleasant Grove Church, they are adding an accessory structure and some parking on their property, and they have a lease for some new parking on the south side of the road. NextEra Energy, Wind, we've told you about, they pushed their project to November. They want to upgrade like 100 of their units.
Right, not just the blade though, right?
Blade and the gear housing. Yeah, and they do it all at the same time.
How much do you know about the gear housing? What I'm hearing about that is fascinating.
I just know that they're going to bring in the entire hub
and
replace the existing hub and put up...
Yeah, so like I understand the original, so this was one of the first big wind farms definitely in Iowa, but in America, really, when they came in. And they used the generators out of old locomotives originally. Okay. And now the industry has advanced to the point... And I hate to put a number on it, but I mean, it's multiples in terms of efficiency, how much more efficient these are going to be, and how much more power they're going to be able to generate from the same wind. It's fascinating to watch this industry grow.
Right, right. So we're going to be seeing that in November, and that'll be ultimately before the Board of Adjustment.
I have a question. Is it possible that when they start doing this, that they would recoup or something?
Yeah, so I don't know how readily they're going to want us around when they're actually doing some of the construction, but I think it's absolutely worth our time to reach out and see if we can just get a briefing, even if it's not a tour, a briefing of what's happening and what kind of impact they expect to have. I'm trying to get something set.
You're talking about before they actually started. Right?
Yeah, I don't think it factors. I don't think we're asking to approve or anything like that. I think just for information and get the word out in the public.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Exactly. I'm just interested.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Manat Stockpiling, CUP, they're located currently South Dayton. They've got their materials there. Their crushing operation, their asphalt and batch plant, they have requested an extension indefinitely to be there permanently. We've reached out to the planning and housing department with Ames. You know, they're adjacent to the Ames corporate limits. Had some discussions about the Ames Urban Fringe and really kind of the vision for that area. So we're in the process of considering a request to stay there, that use to stay there permanently. This is something that will ultimately end up before the Board of Adjustment for action. So,
last time I heard they had 75 years of material to pull out, right?
This would be to the west of that. This is South Dayton, southwest corner of 30 and Dayton.
Right there.
And the CUP is a temporary use that expires at the end of this year.
Good.
They want to stay there. They've acquired some of that land, and they want to stay there permanently and do that.
Yeah, so I've been asking to see if they would have any interest in an option on that ground, because the reality is at some point in the future, they're going to be done with that ground. That's the really low ground. It's
in the floodplain.
It's in the floodplain. It's between I-35 and the Skunk River. I believe that is ultimately, and this is way after all of us, right? But ultimately, that's another Ada Hayden-esque kind of place that helps to tie things together. And if you'll recall on Ada Hayden, that went from the industrial site to private developers, and then the public had to come back in and try to... Can you imagine what Ada Hayden would look like if they hadn't pulled that back into the public? And I just don't want to play with that at all. And so I'm really interested, Jerry, as you work through the CUP, and I understand it goes to the Board of Adjustment, not the Board of Supervisors, but I'm really interested. They say indefinitely, but what is their expectation? Because like I say, I'm here in 75 years that they expect to be pulling materials out of there.
Yeah, and again, this is a site... southwest corner of Highway 30 in South Dayton. They're using it for stockpiling of the material that they're getting from the freeway, from I-35. I think they would like this to be their location for storing their materials, and to have they have a batch plant and a concrete plant there, and to do their crushing, which they only do that like once a year for like a 2-week period. But I think there's some, like, to the east, there's some interest in doing other types of uses that are owned, you know, properties that are owned by other people, more entertainment, hotel-type situation. But with the floodplain, there's some really hard decisions that have to be made about long-term use.
Absolutely. Not considering the stockpile, but the borrow pit that they have, which is full of water, right? We're never going to build anything there. I mean, it's a question of ultimately what that's going to become.
Right, and there's information in our C2C plan about making that a long-term recreational use to benefit the general public. So, dog breeding, boarding, we've got two conditional use permits. We're waiting to reinstitute the language. It was accidentally taken out of our ordinance. And so we've got one for breeding, one for boarding that we're going to be considering. We've got two residential parcel subdivisions, a request to vacate part of our road right-of-way, 199th Street, the residential subdivision to the northwest, Northwood Heights, second edition. Privately owned streets. When Ryan was here, our planning intern, did a lot of work on looking at all our subdivisions, so a lot of that data has been collected. We pulled the resolutions that were approved for those subdivisions. So the goal is to try to figure out which ones of those were actually, those roads were publicly dedicated for public use. We're trying to capture also like existing signage situations. And then eventually we'll be going to the Planning and Zoning Commission and then to the Board of Supervisors on what we find and then try to figure out what the next steps
are. What kind of time frame do you see? So, to boil it down, right, we've got what in essence are private drives, private roads that are signed like they're public roads that don't have traffic enforcement signs. I mean, it just creates kind of a tough situation in multiple spots.
Right. This year, we'd like to have at least what we found and then
figure out what
come with some information. Maybe on recommendations, maybe one or two or three things that we can do going forward.
Okay.
But this year is our plan.
And the two parcel subdivisions, how large are those that we're talking about? I mean, are we splitting a property? Are we using multiple homes? What are we talking about?
The Gilbert is, I think it's like a 10 or 12 acre parcel that they're proposing a division on. Beeland Land, that's the one that was on 500th Avenue, West Ames. It was a part of that change in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan land use amendment. So it's the north portion of that is what we're looking at. And so it's like two lots.
Okay. But multiple lots on that Gilbert, that 12 acres.
It'll be just two lots, though. Oh, it's just they're just residential parcel subdivisions.
Okay.
You said there are two dog facilities now, so the one in Deering, and then the other one is a boarding? Or?
Yeah. It'd be like a daycare.
Daycare. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Primarily Monday through Friday, but they want to offer weekends. And this one, it's in relatively close proximity to existing dwellings. So we had conceptual review and, talk about what our previous regulation was, and then talk also about the amendment that that we went through with animal control. Talked a lot about reaching out to the neighbors about plans before they actually contact us. Sometimes they're better received than if they wait until they hear from us through the notice process. So we had a really good conceptual review meeting. Land evaluation site assessment, that's part of our work program. Ryan, the intern, did a lot of work on that, spent quite a few weeks on that. And it's interesting, though, that we found out that there's only six counties that have a land evaluation site assessment, and one of those decided to stop using it. We went to the Planning and Zoning Commission with like what our process is to do an application review, which I think for the most part they found that pretty interesting. There's interest from some of the members to be able to provide information more quickly, more quicker, have it more readily available. The process is somewhat cumbersome. And it's that way because not only are you looking at just that property, you're looking at the surrounding areas. And as areas change, the point values change. So ultimately, it might end up being a situation where we if we want to continue with what we're doing, that it be more automated. For me to do an evaluation, it takes me a lot longer than like the planning staff. They do them more frequently than I do.
The lease that I've always understood was a tool for us to assure that we weren't taking high quality agricultural land out of production. Okay.
That's the goal.
Okay. So then you just said that the scoring changes. Is that as like subdivisions get built nearby or annexation occurs?
Right. As land uses change, it affects the scoring that you provide. I think we asked like 10 or 12 questions. And go through a somewhat scientific / subjective process. And our goal is to take out the subjectivity to make it more science-based. And every time we have one that's close on the fence, we always have the other planner run through it, and they don't share what their scores are that they found to just compare. Ryan spent a lot of time with Black Hawk County and Linn County. They provided a lot of information with the review that we were doing. And Linn County has a system that they call minimum level of service, which is like a pretest before they do a land evaluation site assessment. And if the property doesn't meet this pretest, the minimum level of service, they don't even do the land evaluation assessment. So with this first test, they're looking at distance to a CAFO, how many hard surface roads are there within close proximity, what's the distance to the fire station, that kind of thing. And then he thought that the Black Hawk County process was very simple, had questions that the staff, because these are all administered by the planning departments, that the questions were very simple and straightforward, and it was pretty easy to assign the point values. But
can you be bringing this forward to us again when all
yeah.
here?
This is not a decision point.
No.
This is something that's moving through. Well, you presented it to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yeah, well,
the concept.
Yeah,
what
we provided the review that we did, and we also went through the actual review process. We showed them, the questions that we asked. We actually gave them an example, a real life example of a request, and that's something that we certainly can do for the board too. One of the things that we're thinking about, like next step, is maybe going to Iowa State and seeing if there's interest with like the grad department in assisting us, with the next steps. And so we'll be working likely with Iowa State.
But we're testing panic buttons. We're good, Aaron?
Yeah,
we're good.
Just a test.
That's right.
But anyway, I was just talking about, we're thinking about working with Iowa State, share with them what we've learned so far, either one or two grad students or a class, and just see what kind of information they can provide. But this is an ongoing discussion. As I mentioned, we're working on several ordinances. Two of them, access and dog kennel, are before the Planning and Zoning Commission. It's a hearing, so we're looking for action tomorrow. We've got also three additional that we're going to be discussing. These have all been before the Planning and Zoning Commission at least once. Transportation impact analysis, home business requirements, and cabins. Transportation impact, again, we're trying to determine what the impact of development is, not only just this development that's proposed, but how it relates to other existing developments. Try to figure out what the counts are during peak times. Have threshold numbers by which we would require the applicant's engineer to provide like a study, an analysis, to get to whether or not improvements need to be made to county roads, intersections, and then ultimately, what cost there would be and who pays for that. So, and there's controls built into the language with you know, the ability of the county engineer and the board to require or not require certain things. Home businesses, again, like I said, we've been before the Planning and Zoning Commission. We're seeing some concerns with regard to compliance with the current ordinance. We've had a lot of discussion about the fact that this ordinance is a good ordinance, but it does not provide ways for businesses that want to expand or need to expand or to transition from their current home base to another location that's zoned, you know, for a commercial or a light industrial type use. So we've got some language built in that would be considered like a minimum easing of standards that would be more administratively reviewed, and then a process that would involve a submittal of a conditional use permit that would be more of a significant change, but with a cap of maybe 2 to 3 years, allow for extension requests. But the goal with the significant easing of the requirements would be that there would be a transition plan to move from a home base, because again, the home businesses are limited impact to an area. These are permitted in residentially zoned areas. They're also permitted in rural areas. If you meet our current requirements, your neighbors probably will not know that you're operating a home business. So, you know, we're working through two different scenarios that provide flexibility to business owners.
Where does the impetus to work through those scenarios come from? Because I guess my feeling on this is that when you own a home business, we've got some pretty clear standards to not impact the neighborhood. So if you grow to a certain point, it's time to move, period. Now so where does the impetus come from all this to go through a lot of transition?
There's nothing built in to allow a business to expand. You have to meet these fairly rigid requirements. You know, you only get one employee other than whoever resides in the house. You get one building if you're in an ag district to store products related to your business. And you cannot have any outside storage or display. So we're finding examples as we're reviewing these, because there's annual reviews, and there's consistent issues with number of employees, outdoor storage, and then multiple buildings being used.
But still, then they're out of compliance.
They're out of compliance.
So maybe I'm doing transition differently than you're talking about. So it's giving them time to move to another location as opposed to continue to grow or to stay long term with that outside of their boundaries.
Both. You know, stay where they're at, test what it is that they need to test for that 3 year period or up to 5 year period, this growth transition period, so that they, you know, if it works, great, they can launch to a different location that's zoned for their use, or they can go scale back and then meet the home business requirements.
Is that something that will come before us, because it will be?
Yes, it's an ordinance. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And just for, Lawrence, I know you remember this, for anybody who's paying attention, the last couple months we've dealt with a company called FINCA, right? Which is a good representation of everything that we're talking about here. And trying to figure out how to, use Hewlett Packard as the example, right? Hewlett Packard started in the guys who are off.
Most of the great businesses did.
We love that. But there needs to be recognition that it's not appropriate for it to grow to a certain level and stay in that growth.
Right.
So, I look forward to hearing more.
It'll be coming. Stormwater erosion control, there's been several variations of that. We've been working with the development community, the environmental community. We're waiting on the outcome of the watershed work group to see what the results of that is. But this is something definitely that will be before Planning and Zoning Commission.
And it hasn't gone to Planning and Zoning.
No.
This is entirely staff at this point?
We probably had some discussions about it, but no action before Planning and Zoning Commission.
And I saw a list of people involved in the industry that you're trying to get input from? It looks like a really...
if there's more, please let us know.
Yeah.
I think there's about 30. So.
Complaints, I won't go through all of them. Different issues. One involving noise with Martin Marietta, a property owner to the northwest. A couple of accessory structures being constructed without permits in the Fernald area. Grading erosion control complaint in the Iowa Center area. The Hickory Grove Mobile Home Park, that citation will be... before the courts, November 9 is the date.
Is that where they have too many units? Is that
right?
Right.
Yeah. Navy subdivision north of Nevada, concerns from property owners with regard to the drive. The subdivision owner did make some improvements to the Hammerhead turnaround. It was a very, very steep slope, and so he made some adjustments there, but there's some removal of trees, and we're going to be working with the property owners on that. These are things that were a part of the approval. And then, again, a complaint involving a construction of a fence that's not completed yet. They've got until February. That's another Fernald complaint. Work program, the orange arrow represents things that we're working on. I talked to you a few times about the demolition site. We had two property owners that were interested, and then they changed their mind. So I think we need to come back to the board with some specific information. And maybe before we do that, try to reach out again to the property owners and see if there's interest. Maybe it's a situation where the county acquires land that can be multi-use, multi-purpose. Some of the counties that we talked to actually own the land that they use to bring the material, the debris, and do the sorting and processing. Or it's something that maybe we look at land in the county to rezone that the private sector would take over. So those are probably the things that you're going to see from us, but we will put something together. Hopefully before the end of the year. The transportation impact ordinance is before the Planning and Zoning Commission tomorrow for discussion. Talk a little bit about Lisa. Emily has done a lot of work on making changes to our natural resource layer. We're reviewing it now as a staff. The focus has been the areas that are experiencing the most growth. So when we get applications in, it's more consistent with what's actually occurring in the field. So
you're trying to get those lines more precise. I mean, it was kind of a general line that was drawn, and we're trying to get more
precise.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, again, we mentioned the information on the subdivision roads that we're working on. Special projects. I mentioned the last time that I was here that we see the need to improve our software capabilities. We think we need something that better tracks our permitting process, our development permit process. Our processes are very extensive from the time an application is submitted till the time the application is approved. It involves multiple boards and commissions. We involve other cities. So we want to be able to track it better than we do currently. And we want to be able to extract information more easily. All this stuff that's provided on this PowerPoint it takes a lot of time. It's not an automatic process at all. So we want to be able to pull the information more easily. We want to be able to share the information with other departments. That's always been our goal, to work with environmental health, engineering, conservation, and the others. So that's kind of a focus on this. And then to be able to have property owners and business owners apply for permits and be able to not only do that, but track the success or the process, from their devices.
Are you talking about allowing them to actually make the initial application online?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
They're pulling the information, the permits and whatnot, but it's not as smooth as the process can be or maybe should be. So we've talked to probably seven vendors and watched seven or eight different demos, and we want to get to a point where we're feel pretty strong about at least two of them before we sit down with IT and before I sit down with them with regard to this project. But this is something that we'll probably be requesting before the board for the next budget.
Okay.
And then it's National Planning Month, the month of October. It's a proclamation. And we will have a proclamation next Tuesday. But we would like to have an open house for a couple, 2 or 3 hours, likely the third week of this month. But we want to try to communicate with the general public some of the ordinances that we've adopted, agritourism, some of the others, and then some of the ones that we're working on now. And then use this as an opportunity to have property owners come in and talk to us about their projects. So we want to celebrate that. We want to celebrate the volunteers, the commissioners, and everyone who's involved in planning and making Story County a great place to live, work, and play.
Questions for Gary, of course.
I do. We had discussed over the summer that there was a private individual who was going to throw a party, a large rock concert type party, and you said that you were communicating with him, and how does that even fit into our special event ordinance? How did that come out?
Well, actually, the property owner did come in and inquired about the ordinance, and I went through the provisions, and ultimately they decided that they would be underneath that threshold. Part of it is trying to figure out if you're going to have more than 250 participants, volunteers, I just suggested start with the bands, and because the bands have different social media accounts, find out how many people might be coming. But I could tell he took it very seriously. He took all the information, and I think ultimately he decided that they would have less than 250 people. And I haven't heard that there were any concerns or issues. I did report that at our management meeting, for the benefit of the sheriff's office and engineering and some of the roads. But.
That's it. Garrett, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, we are to public forum number two. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything you'd like to comment on. We can't take any action at this point since it's not on the agenda, but we might take action in the future in your comments. If anybody has any, come on up. Seeing no one moving in microphone, liaison assignments. Loris?
I think the biggest thing that I reported on last week that has now been at least temporarily resolved was the situation with HRDA and the bus insurance for the bus. You will notice that the HRDA buses are on the road. So we have obtained insurance, and we had a lengthy meeting on the morning of October 8th, we being the HRDA board, where we'll be discussing about how we need to change our contracts with the two contractors we have to try and bring their drivers under our standards and requirements, because that was the issue with the contract drivers. And this week, I'll be in Collins for the open house for the wellness center they have there, plus the meeting. And I think I'm going to McCall for them next Monday to talk to them a little bit about information about the Prairie Trail. So those are the big things on there.
You also got a Historical Society, which I think Marty and I won't be able to.
Yes, and I'm sorry. Thank you for that. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather with the food poisoning.
Absolutely. Anything else?
Nothing.
All right. So I was excited to learn right at the top of the meeting, and Loris, I think you pointed out that you think the number is 7%, but wages in Story County are going up, and we're in fact the fastest in the state of Iowa in terms of increased wages. I think it's silly to think that that's not a direct result of our low unemployment rate. But today we got 9,500 individuals and growing in Story County who work in manufacturing at an average wage of about $60,000 a year, and adding 400 new jobs to that, I think, is a really, really good thing and positive for Story County. Tomorrow I'll be down in Des Moines. I'm leading a meeting with all of our regional mental health CEOs. and the County Sheriff's Association as we talk through, hopefully, those three groups, Board of Supervisors from around the state, regional CEOs, and the County Sheriff's Association, pulling together to really try to speak with the same voice to the state about what needs to happen as we get this, primarily funding issues and reliability of payments handled for our mental health system, but I'm excited to lead that conversation. And if there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn. And I'll second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're done. You did great. See you later.